Welcome back to the Wise Divine Woman podcast, where I help you go from fed up to faith-fueled, helping you to become the wise divine woman that you are called to be. Today, I have Dana Marie from Dana Marie Life Coaching. We've had a little wonderful conversation behind the scenes before we began, and I really feel that this is a very heartfelt conversation that we're having today. Her journey, her passion, her purpose, her mission, really touches my heart, and I think it is just an important conversation to have. And I hope that you'll enjoy the show today. Welcome to the show, Deanna.
Oh, thank you so much, Dana, for having me.
Thank you so much. Tell me, life coaching, very broad for sure, but your purpose, your mission is to.
My purpose is to really help women and men in alcoholic relationships. Those who are struggling or feel stuck or just feel unseen, I want to help them feel seen and know that they're not alone.
It's an incredible situation for a lot of people. When people have addictions and have scenarios in their lives that seem out of control, or they're just not even, they don't even recognize it, to be honest. I think a lot of the times it's just part of who we are in a society, and what becomes normal stays normal. And sometimes it's not for women. Right, and for men as well. But how did you get to this journey? It is a very interesting choice of life coaching for sure. What brought you to this point?
Yes, it is. And I will tell you, I am only a handful of what I have certainly found to be a life coach in this area of kind of addiction. How I came to be was when I was married to my ex-husband. And when we first met, I typical 24-year-olds, fun drinking, having, going about our lives. And then we fast forward, we had our first son, and he really wanted a family, and so did I. And then once we had our son, his drinking still continued. And I thought, really, with the responsibilities of family now, a son that he so dearly wanted, that perhaps the drinking was slowed down, but he actually ended up getting two DWIs within the first year of my eldest son's birth. And it was really only at that point that I recognized this is not just someone who just wants to party. This is just someone who just can't stop drinking. And at that time, I was in my 30s. And so I started looking for ways that could help us as a family. We were a new young family, and I obviously didn't have a child with this person because I thought to end this family. And I started looking for help. So I went to the traditional resources. I went to, started reading some books. Then I went to therapy, and I started to do that. And I started initially with Al-Anon, which I'm sure a lot of listeners who are struggling with an alcoholic partner may be familiar with. And I never really got the connection or the help that I wanted. And the reason I say that is not through any fault of Al-Anon or the therapist. It was just that I was looking for someone to really reach out to me, hold my hand, and kind of really just tell me what to do. And a therapist just won't do that for you. I mean, that's not what they're trained to do. And Al-Anon, if anyone's been in an Al-Anon meeting, it's really you just listen to other people's stories. You can, when the meeting is over, have alone time and maybe get into a little bit more depth. But I wanted someone just for me, someone who could just really understand what I was going through, who could have my back. Because for a lot of women and men who are in alcoholic relationships, we're somewhat ashamed, right? I was a strong professional, I was a professional. I had a team underneath me. I was the one who was always in charge. People looked up to me to do the next thing and get the thing done. But yet when I came home, I had no control over what was going on in my own house. And you feel like so stupid. Like, how did I get myself in this position? Like, and how can I not find my way out of this position? It's like, I love this person. I married him to have a family. We have this issue, and now I can't find my way out so that we all can live happily ever after. So that's kind of the long road, but really what it brought me to, Dana, and I think this is what you're looking for is, so these resources, though they were very helpful, I never found someone just for me. And so I decided when I was back in my 30s, if I ever got to a point that I could help women and men in alcoholic relationships understand and learn what I've learned to feel better, not only when I was in this relationship, but beyond the relationship, I wanted to share that with them. Because if I had someone who had dealt with the same thing that I was dealing with, I would have not stayed stuck in that pain for so long. I hopefully would have taken the tools that I now offer my clients now to really get them to focus on themselves. Because when we are in an alcoholic relationship, we are so codependent on our partner, no matter how strong and independent we think we are. Because if they're zigging, we are zagging. That's just really the life. There's obviously some exceptions. People are different, obviously, but the majority, I would say, are living their lives based on whether their partner is doing good or he's not doing good. And after all this time, now I'm going to be 60 this year, and it's been 20 some odd years. And when I retired recently, I started looking back into, well, I became a certified life coach, and then I started looking back into this arena that I was looking for help for. And I realized there's no new resources. Everything, just as it was 20 years ago, is really how it is today. There is Al-Anon. There is therapy. There's group therapy, which I had also done way back then. And there's books. There are no inpatient, outpatient, monthly support groups. I mean, people just to really just take your hand and just guide you. And that's what I want to be. I just want to be a guide. I just want to help them through. And I just want to let them know that if Al-Anon and therapy and group therapy is just not the right fit for you, and you're not getting what you need out of books, that I'm here for you. I'm here to help you, support you. I don't care whether you stay in your relationship or leave your relationship. All I really care about is that you do not stay in this pain every day of trying to fix or understand them. And know that you can live your own life regardless of what they do. So that's my kind of my story.
I love that, and I think it's so needed. It's funny how things haven't changed, right? That would have been like you would have circled back and went, nothing has changed. What is going on here? Like mental health has changed. Like there's some things that have changed in our world, and it's funny that we haven't had the ability or the gumption to really pick up the pieces and fill in that gap that's so necessary, right? There's all sorts of ways to help the people who are alcoholics if they wish, and but not for that support system for the people that they take out along the way, right? I think the one question that came up, one, I absolutely love your passion and I just like goosebumps. It was just, I know exactly how you feel. It's that wanting to come alongside people and help them and be their cheerleader and that and give them knowledge and such. But how are we supposed to know if it's normal or if it's not normal? At which point are people or women stepping back and just really saying, okay, this isn't how it's supposed to be.
And I get this question a lot, right? If people have asked me, well, how do I actually know if he is an alcoholic? And this is how I answer it, at least for my clients. If they're drinking, whether it's one beer or 100 beers, is affecting your relationship to the point that you are unable to communicate, you're just not on the same page. You're just not building that relationship that you had hoped for your future, then I can help you. It doesn't matter. It's now it, because everyone's tolerance is different. Everybody's definition is different. Yeah. But for me, it's like, if you think that's an issue for you, then let's work on that to get you better in that relationship. And then I will tell you, the relationship itself will start working better. And right. as time goes on, they can decide what they want to do in their future.
It is about building better communication skills and understanding the scenario that you're in. And it is so important. And in so many ways, when we're talking to clients and I'm coaching, it is reminding people of boundaries. And you talk about that on your website. And I know that's a pivotal point. Yes. Can you talk about that a bit, about boundaries and what you mean by that in your coaching?
Absolutely. And it's so funny. I actually just did a post right before I came on here about boundaries. And boundaries are the number one things that all partners in alcoholic relationships need to start implementing in order to start getting back some, I don't want to say control, but feeling like they've gotten their feet underneath it and their partner isn't running the show. Because it's really just saying, you know, if you start raising your voice to me, that's a boundary. You know, it has to have a consequence. The consequence is I am going to leave the room and go to the bedroom or whatever, or I am no longer talking to you. But the most important thing about this is you have to follow through on the consequences, because if you don't, then the next time you set a boundary, your partner's just going to think you're not going to follow through and they'll just keep doing it anyway. So if you do set a boundary, if they start raising their voice and you walk away and you consistently do that, you know, then they've learned that, you know, they may try to up the game and foul you or get you to change your mind, but you must be consistent on all that you do, because only then do you start getting the change. And once you've signaled to your partner, I am not engaging with you if you're yelling or raising your voice, then, you know, they'll eventually give up on trying to get to suck you back into the conversation. And with each, boundaries and consequences don't have to be difficult. They can start off small and get bigger along the way. So that is the most pivotal point. And I would also offer, along the guidelines of boundaries and consequences, is never ever in any relationship throw out an ultimatum and hope that your partner will change if you don't plan on actually following through on that ultimatum. Because so many, myself included, you're so desperate for change in this relationship, you'll just sometimes say anything, right? I'm leaving. I can't tell you how many times I said, I'm leaving. I'm taking the kids. I'm leaving. And I never did. So when I said it the next time, there's no bang in that, you know, bang behind that. So it's like, it's just useless. It's just useless. And if you are going to lay down an ultimatum, you better follow through, because otherwise they will never believe you again.
Right. Right. It's so true. So true. Exactly. Yeah. Boundaries are very important. Just even, not even this sort of situation, it's applicable to all life, whether it's a workplace, whether it's parenthood, whether it's being a sibling or a son or daughter, and with friends, because our energy is valuable to us, and all the energy we have is expendable, and we have to divide it up correctly so we don't have these pulls and these heavy laden burdens that are unnecessarily ours, right? That's a conversation we have often when we're looking at women's thermography, and where I can see the stress, and they're telling me they're already doing A, B, and C, then I'm already going to go, okay, well then what are you holding on to that's not yours, right? Or where is that imbalance in life when they're standing like this all the time, other than a structure issue? Again, it's this unbalanced life scenario, and I think that plays a role in everyone. I'm sure in your topics and conversations, and I love, I don't love, I shouldn't say it like that. We often hear the word about narcissism. Does narcissism play a role in alcoholic partners?
I would say there's
An element.
narcissistic tendencies, and but I wouldn't just label that every person who's an alcoholic is a narcissist, because some people are just quiet and alone with their disease. Like some of my clients, their husbands will come home, grab the beer of the refrigerator, and go to their man cave, you know? So I can't always say that
No, you're right.
it's just an element of it. But I would not say it's a typical characteristic.
That's very true, very true. It's an interesting aspect. Yes, a lot of them are dealing with so many internal mental stress issues, and probably why they've reached this spot in their life, right? But as you're reaching out to your clients, again, men and women that are out there, it's empowering them to understand and empower themselves in the situation, to learn to communicate better, and to sort of step back as a third person and sort of look at the situation a little more
Absolutely.
logically and not emotionally, right?
Absolutely. And that's the biggest key, because you have to look at your husband, the alcoholic, and your husband as two different people. And just know that, the reason they're in this, their disease, is because there's something going on with them that they just don't want to handle. But that the husband that you married, they are still there. Like alcohol, people who are struggling with any kind of addiction are not bad people. It's just they have unhealed trauma from some part of their life, and they have not yet come to handle it and work through it. And so if we can, as partners, look at them in that empathetic, independent way, as feel like, well, their behavior is changing my life, but just look at them as, wow, look at them. That's so sad, but I'm still going to live my life. Then that's how we can move forward. And what you want to do from there on out is up to you.
So true. Yeah, that's exactly how you have to sort of look at things and understand the when you're coming alongside the women and men that are trying to assess the situation, and I'm sure the topic of they want to stay, how can they help? How do you approach that? How are you teaching them to love better, I guess?
It's really just creating independence within the relationship. I currently have a client right now who's been with her husband for 35 years. They've been together for 40, but he, over a course of time, has had some issues that have occurred, which has led to this increased drinking. So for 30 of those years, he never really drank, but now he has. So it's really just having them find things that fulfill them, and don't always, again, break free of the codependency. And not only just the aspects of doing things together, but it's also working on the dreams that they had of this relationship 40 years ago, because 30 years of it was going in the right direction, at least for my current client. But in the past 10, it's gone off path from what she thought it was going to be. So how do you reconcile with a person that was one way for 30 years and this way for 10 years, and unravel the dream of, we will vacation together, we will go hiking together, we will, golf together, when you don't even want to be with this person socially anymore because of their disease? And I will tell you, it's not easy, but it can be done. There are some clients that choose to work on their independence and stay in the relationship for their own reasons, and that's their right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one never knows what the heart is, and
Exactly.
the love of a relationship. But
Yeah.
again, it's just educating them and empowering them to understand the situation and
Absolutely.
understand themselves more wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And again, even with women in the the transition of wisdomhood, menopause, we go through our own troubles. We go through our own difficulties in trying to identify who we were in the first place and or what our new passions are. And again, that just so eloquently comes alongside that whole goal of transformation, understanding yourself, fulfilling your goals, and hoping that everyone else will understand and respect that as we age, as anyone would, as a person, right?
Absolutely. You know, and like you said, within your membership, the 45 and plus women, like a lot of the times, and I've said this about my own ex-husband, I married him when I was 24 years old. Regardless of his addiction, I really, with every fiber of my being, believe we wouldn't have been together. Because we are just grew as different people. And so whether it's you're growing apart because of addiction or you're growing apart just because of changes of priority or lifestyle, then that's just our journey. And my goal for all women 45 plus in addiction, non-addiction, is like, life is too short. Just live the best life you can. It can be taken away tomorrow. Don't live without regrets. Don't stay in a place that you're unhappy, regardless of the situation. I know it's so easy said than done. It's so cliche, right? Oh, don't stay in a place. But it is possible if you're willing to do the work and really look at why you're staying stuck, regardless of where you are, whether it's a job, a relationship, or your garden club. It's like, what are you getting out of it? And if it's not really serving you anymore, then maybe you need to understand why and dissect that.
So true. Good analogy. Pruning away of the things that serve us no purpose, and certainly flourishing and planting seeds of growth for our own selves, so that we can become a better person, just not only for ourselves, but for our family and for our community. And it's important to understand. We're always encouraged to prune away those things. Yes. And it is in these types of really touchy scenarios that you have come alongside and assisted them in this very difficult journey of understanding a situation, acknowledging it, empowering, and moving forward. And I think that it's not for the faint of heart. And I'm so impressed, Deanna, that you've really stepped into that, because it's an emotional journey for many.
Yeah, it is. And I have to tell you, I struggled with it, like, because initially I thought, you know, do I want to start going back to where I was 20 years ago? Did I want to start feeling that pain? And I realized, no, I'm here to serve them. I'm here to show them that it is possible. And what you're saying about the women in their journey, I started this new career path when I was 57 years old. So I just, regardless of where you are in life, whether it's work or marriage, it's like, you're never too old. Another client, she's like, well, I don't want to start all over. She's a year, a little younger than I am. And I'm like, I can certainly understand that. But if you're not willing to change, then what's your life going to be in 30 years? Are you willing to endure for 30 years? And you certainly can, but I want you at least to just look at that.
30 years, goodness, just 5 years. Like, are you willing to continue this in this pattern? Are you finding your joy? Exactly. And is your cup full? And I think that does become to that point of desperation where they have no life left in them. They have, they're pulled in all directions. And again, that just, again, goes back to the importance of creating, as you say, these unbreakable boundaries in your journey and in your therapies that you provide people. So, of course, I'm like reading through your website, I'm going through everything, and you have this amazing course coming up on March 21st about gaslighting. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, it's called Cut the Crap, Gaslighting Exposed. Yes, it's on March 21st. You can register on my website, which is DeannaMarieLifeCoaching.com. It's two N's, DeannaMarieLifeCoaching.com. And really, This has been a huge topic. And I will tell you, this is the truth, Dana. When I was going through my troubles about 20 years ago, I thought my husband was just like putting me down. Gaslighting wasn't even really a
Not
term.
a term, no.
It wasn't a term. It was just like, oh, you're so stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. All those things. I'm like, oh, he's just being so mean to me. And now
Yeah.
it's like, here we are 20 years later. So that has changed. I'm like, oh, there's a term for this. And yes, it's gaslighting. When if whether they're trying to deflect, they're trying to like put it deflect to someone else, turn it around, lie about it, underestimate it. That's all gaslighting. And what happens is when that happens, and when you are told so often that you're wrong, or it was somebody else, or what you thought, or what you heard is not the right thing, you start really doubting yourself. You walk away from, like, and the truth is, I used to walk away from conversations looking like I was so confident. And as soon as I turn around, I was like, maybe they didn't say that. Or, and it's knowing that this is what they're doing. They're doing this intentionally to undermine your psychological state, to keep you weak, and they want to be more in charge. So we are going to cut through all the crap that they're saying. We are going to expose, that some of the tactics they're doing, and then we're going to also teach you how to handle it the next time you're gaslit.
Wow. It's a huge topic, and I love that you're really like, you're just cutting the crap. You're just gonna dig right in deep. And it's so important because for many of us, it's recognizing. And
Yes.
then it's sometimes, I mean, I know it's just, they're just trying to take just a little niche out of your step, right? They're just a little bit at a time, and the ball just starts to roll, right? And in breaking our confidence and breaking our situations that, we're trying to be good with ourselves and we're trying to be happy and find joy and just those little nitpicky things, what breaks the dam in a lot of situations. And I love it. I think it's an important topic, and I'm sure, so many women, older, like our parents perhaps, would be like, yeah, gosh, is that what you called it? I'd love that. I should know
Yes.
more. I wish I knew more. And I think
Yeah.
it's important because as we're, teaching our next generation and the next generation as legacy makers, these are the important changes that we're trying to make. We're trying to allow them to recognize what's right and what's wrong in relationships, but
Yes.
also how we can also become better communicators and
Absolutely.
recognize if we're not placing guilt or we're not gaslighting others as well and taking responsibility for our own selves, right?
Absolutely. Boundaries and communications is the glue that binds the relationship. Because if everyone is open and communicating and taking their own responsibility for their own feelings and not placing blame on the other person, and if everybody is clear with boundaries on everyone's expectations, it's only going to grow the relationship and grow the respect. And it is so important that, we learn how to listen as well as communicate. Because so often, especially in alcoholic relationships, and I did it myself, you kind of get on a high and mighty, well, you're the alcoholic, and I don't even need to listen to you anymore. Because you're the one who's causing all this chaos in our family. But you can't do that. If you want respect, you have to give respect. And then from that place of respect, make decisions in a calm and controlled place.
Do you find it to be a hard balance to helping women sort of decipher whether feeling pity for their partner in the sense of he's wounded, he's really hurt, he's not, we should be tiptoey around him, give him sympathy, I suppose, rather than is that right or wrong, or is it should be that he is responsible for himself. I'm here if you need me. I need to make sure that I'm okay, I'm strong, I am healthy and moving forward in life. How does that play? How does that work in a balance of things?
Well, it's interesting. It's one of the biggest arguments, even within my own clients. And if you go on some of the Facebook sites that deal with these types of relationships, it's, is it a disease or is it not a disease? And some people feel strongly it's a disease. I wouldn't leave my husband if he had cancer, so I'm not going to leave him because he has this disease. And other people will say it's not cancer. Cancer is something that you can't control. It is a choice, and you know, they have the right to do something about it. You can't do something about cancer internally because you don't even know when it's coming about, right? So it's all your philosophy. And again, it goes to my clients. I can't tell them what's right or wrong. It's just like, and honestly, at the end of the day, I don't care if they think what's right or wrong. It's like, are you happy? Are you happy in this relationship? Are you happy how you're moving forward? Can you find a fulfilling life? You know, and how can you move forward and bring joy and peace into your life, regardless of what your thought process is on disease or not?
Very, very true, right? And it is choice. Everything has a choice. Everyone has a choice in life.
Yeah.
And it's not like there are not enough. There are so many agencies. There are so many systems out there to help anyone in this situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is a choice that is made. And it is again an internal mental fight for anyone who's on the other side. But again, like you've said, it is stepping back and making sure that we find our joy and that we are happy. And how are we going to move forward in the next 20, 30 years, even to tomorrow? And again, it's just it's such an important conversation. It's a scary conversation to even sit back and ask yourself, am I able to make these changes? Is now the time I'm standing up for myself and being strong for myself? And how is this looking forward? And again, I'm so immensely impressed that you've actually tackled this ground. It's just amazing. It's a lot. And I understand you know, with your education and your passion, that you are making waves of changes in the community. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. You know, if I can just help one person just not be in pain for another day, then that's really my goal.
I think that is incredible, Deanna. Thank you. Thank you so much. So where can people find you?
Well, I am on, you can find me on my website, first and foremost, which I said is DeannaMarieLifeCoaching.com with two N's, DeannA, MarieLifeCoaching.com. I make it pretty easy. You can find me on Instagram at DeannaMarieLifeCoaching and also on Facebook at DeannaMarieLifeCoaching. So you can, you know, read my posts, hear my story, find out a little bit more about me. I do offer monthly workshops. As Dana had mentioned, this month it's going to be gaslighting. I do them the third week every month on a Thursday. So I may be switching up to Saturdays per request, but that'll be coming soon. And you can always reach out to me anytime. Send me a message. Like people who are listening, a lot of the time they just don't want to come through the formal channels. I say to everyone who's listening here, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, send me a message. I will respond. It won't be an Autobot. When you get a response, it'll be from me because I know what it's like when I just wanted an answer, needed some help, or just a little push to the other side. And I will be there for you as fast as I can. I'm always going to be there to hold your hand and support you, regardless of even if you work with me or not. I just want to help you.
I think that's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Deanna. What is a word of wisdom that you would share?
A word of wisdom. I actually had two thoughts in my mind, so I'm trying
perfect.
To decide.
No, perfect. Both of them. Great.
Well, the first one is, and this is part of my coaching program, why? The question is, ask yourself why. Why are you there? Why are you scared? Why are you staying? Why do you want to go? Really ask yourself why. Really start to uncover what is really going on. Not what your brain is telling you you should or shouldn't do because of the pension and the fact that you may have to sell a house, you know, or the kids, but what is it? Why are you there? And, or why do you, you know, what is it that you want in your future? The other word of wisdom is belief. And a belief is really, I guess, it's just like believing that the answers of your why are your truth, and start really moving in that direction of believing it's possible for you. There are so many people who just think, I can't, I don't know how to, it will never work. And it's so easy. It's so easy not to do anything. But if you have belief, you can truly turn your life around. I know I did it. It is not easy. I will not say that. But it is possible for you to turn your life around and have a life that you thoroughly enjoy, and the one you've always wanted it, wanted for yourself from when you were a little girl. And so that's what I would offer up.
I think that is amazing and so well said. Thank you so much, Deanna, for sharing this time with us. And I encourage everyone, go to the website. There's free resources. It's beautiful. And she has so much of her to share and help you along this journey. As you've seen today, her passion, her purpose, and her mission in life is just to come alongside you and encourage you during this difficult situation. Deanna, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.